Thank you for tuning in on Fridays, because it's our new day. Lee has actually shown up, which is a pleasant change. Todd is here. I'm here. We've all got stuff to review. Let's get started with, Todd, you've got two things. We'll start with a movie, because we do movies. You have a TV show later, but it's a good TV show. Very good TV show. We're going to start with the movie, though, which you said was what? Unsane?
It is called Unsane, and this was... flew under the radar. This is one of those movies that MoviePass probably would let you actually go watch because it wasn't like a big release. Steven Soderbergh director, which makes it pretty interesting. Came out just this year. Interesting psychological thriller starring Claire Foy, who, if you're familiar with the wonderful show about the British monarch,
the crown,
she plays Elizabeth. This is a rather different character. She's a very, just kind of an ass. And she has these fears. She describes herself as that. She has these fears that she kind of thinks that this guy who stalked her a while ago is still around. And she winds up being committed into a mental asylum for these fears against her will. And she winds up seeing him there. And you're wondering, is this really the guy? Or is she just so crazy that she thinks she sees the guy? She's wonderful in the film. And I was a little disappointed because they don't keep you guessing as long as I'd hoped they would as to whether this really is this creepy stalker or she's just imagining it. But regardless, it is a really good thriller. She's really good in it. Soderbergh probably couldn't do a bad film if he was drunk and asleep at the same time. So it's got that going for it. One of the interesting things about it, he shot this on an iPhone 7 Plus using a $15 app. And this is a major theatrical release, and it looks really good. Yeah, you can tell it was shot on a phone, and that was kind of the whole point because it makes it much more intimate. And the close-ups have that weird aspect because it's shot on a phone, but it really works for this kind of a film.
He did it in landscape and not...
It's in landscape, yeah, because he's not an idiot.
Good.
But it's a really interesting film. It's not like the greatest thing ever, but definitely a very interesting film. Definitely worth watching. It is, I don't believe it's actually streaming because I rented it on these streaming services. But so I can't really say how it would look on a big screen because I watched it, on just high def, not on 4K either. So I can't tell you if it's like really grainy in comparison.
I'm sorry, what did you watch it on?
Just a regular TV.
I mean, what streaming service?
Oh, I rented it. So Vudu or Amazon, whatever. I don't think it's on any streaming service yet for free. But in that environment, it looks really good. And you can tell there's something a little odd about it. It's not like you look at it and say, oh, this must have been shot on a phone. Not at all. But it does give a different look to it because he shot it on a phone. And obviously that was a deliberate because he's trying to convey something just through the way it looks. Has a nice little twist at the end. And again, Claire Foy is excellent in this role. I really recommend Unsane. It's not like the best thriller I've ever seen, but it's definitely worth watching. To me, it was worth renting. And I wish I'd had a chance to catch it at the theater. It was just one of these things where I just didn't have time. But Unsane came out this year. Very good movie.
And I've seen Claire Foy in several things at this point, including The Crown. But she's always fantastic. So I haven't seen this yet. And I was kind of holding off on it because of just the way it looked on the screen. Not that it looked bad. It just looked like it was too intense for something I wanted to watch at the time, if that makes sense. But, based on your recommendation, obviously, I think I'm going to see it because she's fantastic. I like Soderbergh.
Yes.
He chose to make two Shay films. And it's just, I think I'll definitely see it at this point. I was like, I don't think I'm going to see it. She looks completely different just in the trailer than any role I've ever seen her in.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, it's very believable, and which is interesting because it's such a difference from the role in The Crown. But, I mean, she's terrific in this.
So there's something to see. Very good. I'm actually going to bring up something I'm not going to recommend.
Awesome.
Although it's something a lot of people have already seen, but there's different versions of it. Let me explain. I think we've all seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy by this point. And yes, that is what I'm talking about. But last weekend, I went with my wife yard sailing. And someone was selling the original trilogy, extended edition, on Blu-ray. I said, I don't have those. $5? Sure, why not? So I brought them home and watched them. And there's actually a quality issue that came up because it wasn't originally filmed in 1080p or high def or however you want to phrase it. So the original version of it, just the regular DVD version, the version you saw in theater, all the CG stuff, like, you know, Smeagol or the Oliphants or whatever, fit in because they were the same quality as the cinematography, and it all looked beautiful. And I think that's one of the reasons the movie was such a success. After a while, you don't think of Smeagol as being computer generated. You think of him as just, oh, it's Andy Serkis, he's being an actor. It was just that well put together. But now the 1080p upgrade has changed that balance. I mean, most of the shots are just even more beautiful than they were before. But there are issues. Whenever Smeagol comes on the screen and interacts with someone else, you kind of go, oh, he looks slightly more computer generated and grainy because he wasn't upgraded as much as everything else in the movie. All the Oliphants, only one of which was named Tim, did not actually look like they belonged on the field of, I've forgotten what the field was called. Field of battle. We'll just go with that. It doesn't look right. So if for some reason you have not seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy because you live in a cave where you listen to Lee's jokes.
Well, you mean me. You just mean only me. I appreciate that.
Okay. And if you don't get that, listen to Sunday's show. It's not going to make much more sense. Anyway, I am actually going to recommend against, and unless you find it at a yard sale for $5 like I did, I'm going to recommend against getting the 1080p version of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Go with just the regular DVD, because weirdly, it looks better. It's more consistent, and it keeps you in the movie better. I think that's a good way of putting it.
It helps you suspend the disbelief.
Exactly. It kept taking me out of it, and I didn't like that. Other than that, the extended versions are really good. So, something to watch. It made a ton of money at the theater. Much like the movie Lee went to see this week.
Yes. Right? I went to see a European film. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, so I went to see Mission Impossible Fallout, which is Mission Impossible 6. And in the film, they make a lot of in jokes, if you're following, about MI6, because it's all about the British. There's a lot about British intelligence and CIA and all that stuff, and IMF. But I'll say this about the film. If Raiders of the Lost Ark had made a sequel, and I've seen Last Crusade, which was fantastic, but if Raiders of the Lost Ark had made a sequel that was equal or close to equal as far as entertainment and value and worthiness of the original, then Mission Impossible Fallout would have been that film. So, you know, and Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite film ever. Mission Impossible Fallout is some of the reviews are saying it's the best summer film that has come out this year. I've seen Avengers. I've seen several summer, quote unquote, summer films that have come out. Mission Impossible Fallout is by far the best one I have seen. I got tired of seeing the trailers, to be honest. I think I talked about this on the show.
Right.
Yeah, because every film, literally every film, I don't care if it was an action film or it was a kid's film or whatever, had a Mission Impossible Fallout trailer attached to it. So I'm like, I can't wait for this film to come out just so I don't have to watch the trailers. It wasn't even so much about the film. I'm always entertained about the films. Some of them, as far as the Mission Impossible film, some of them are better than others. The first Mission Impossible film is good because it's really an ode to the show, and it's entertaining. Mission Impossible Fallout is so well directed and so well acted and just so much freaking fun that it is, if you have not seen this film yet, you should see it at the theater. I saw it on RPX sound quality. I would see it at 2D, 3D, 5D. I don't care what it is. A fantastic film. It takes place in stages. I like the IMDb says, Ethan Hunt and his IMF team, along with some familiar allies, race against time after a mission has gone wrong. That is the worst synopsis in the history of synopsis if you're going to see this film. There are so many different things that happen in this film, and you never have 2 minutes without being highly entertained by the action that is taking place in this film. Tom Cruise is fantastic in this film. Simon Pegg is fantastic in this film. Henry Cavill is fantastic. Every actor does the embodiment of what their role is supposed to be. And every aspect of this film also has pure entertainment value, which is all it's supposed to have. It has tongue-in-cheek action. Several times they make a reference to, we're just making this up as we go along, which I think was clearly a tongue-in-cheek reference to Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is what Harrison Ford says when about halfway through the movie when he's just making it up. I think that was the whole feel they wanted to have throughout the whole film. So if you haven't seen Mission Impossible Fallout and you want to be entertained, if you want to go to films and spend, I don't care if it's 15, 20 bucks, whatever you pay to watch a film, go to see this film today, tonight, tomorrow. It is worth every dollar that you will see. It is the best sequel to any film I would have seen that Raiders of the Lost Ark would have ever made.
I am paying $20 to see this film tomorrow on your recommendation. Well, yeah, probably not 20, but no, seriously, like, I'm really hyped now.
I mean, when have you guys seen a sixth film in a series that has gotten what is it on Metacritic? 86, which is ridiculous for a sequel, but yeah. It's worth every ounce of that 86. It's actually worth more than that. I mean, it's got several hundreds. I know Total Film says McCrory brings grace and grit, and Cruise brings a period. This quick-witted, fleet-footed franchise shows no sign of flagging. That does a disservice, and it's 100.
some critics are saying this is the best action film ever,
I'll say this: besides Raiders of the Lost Ark, it is the second best action film I have ever seen.
That's and knowing how much you love Raiders of the Lost Ark, when you said that, it's like, okay. I'm like excited to see this now. I mean, because that's obviously this has got to be a great movie. So I'm really, really excited to see it. That's really cool. And Kristen McCrory definitely needs a lot of credit for this. I mean, he's directed the last Mission Impossible movie, Rogue Nation, which was really cool. And so, I mean, he's done some good stuff in the past.
Yeah, halfway through the film, I turned to my daughter, Alex, and said to her that Henry Cavill is, I think, this character. I think this is who he ends up being. And I was totally wrong. And the film was leading you, I think, intentionally to you thinking that, to me thinking that. And I think I'm a fairly intelligent movie viewer where I'm halfway through Sixth Sense, I thought, well, he's probably dead the whole time. And if you've never seen Sixth Sense, I'm sorry, I just spoiled it. But, you know, But it doesn't end up happening that way. But it happens in a way that's not also the opposite of that. It's a part of that, and it's just so intelligently written and directed that you should literally stop listening to this if you haven't, because this is on Friday. If you haven't seen the show in a week, then that's your fault, not the movie's fault.
No, that's true. And by the way, talking about intelligent writing, Kristen McCrory is the guy who wrote The Usual Suspects.
And when you see this film, that's what it is. It really is that.
Oh my God. The action of Raiders of the Lost Ark and the suspense and just kind of insanity of The Usual Suspects. I'm dialed in for that. Yeah.
Sounds very good. Must go to theater.
Absolutely.
Jeeves, get my keys. I'm going to try to use MoviePass.
Yeah. Oh, don't use MoviePass because not
that ain't
because
happening.
You not see it. They'll charge you twice for seeing it. So don't use MoviePass. Spend your
You won't be able to see it anyway because it won't let you see any first run film in the first 2 weeks. At least that's the last thing we're doing.
Could stay home and watch Castle Rock.
You could stay home and watch Castle Rock, which would, and compared to Lee's review of Mission Impossible, would be a mistake. But after you see Mission Impossible Fallout, you probably will want to watch Castle Rock. I was excited when I first heard about this because Stephen King is one of the executive producers. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it's an interesting setting because, of course, Castle Rock plays some part of almost all of Stephen King's books. Many of them are actually set in Castle Rock. So, oh, a new story in Castle Rock. Very cool. And then I started thinking about it and thought, oh, geez, but, you know, just made for nothing wrong with made for Hulu, made for Netflix, whatever. I mean, sometimes there are bad things, sometimes there are good things, but still, I really started worrying. No worries necessary. This is a really good, intriguing story. None of the main characters are from any of Stephen King's previous works, which is a very smart decision on their part. It's set in that realm, and there are tons of Easter eggs, which is great, but you're not watching it for the Easter eggs because it is a compelling story. Basically, a young boy is adopted by a minister, and the minister somehow falls to what eventually becomes his death, and he dies a few days later. The boy is gone for 11 days, and he's found, and everyone basically thinks that, for whatever reason, they think that the boy shoved the minister off the cliff and killed his dad. He grows up. 25 years later or whatever, he comes back to town because he gets a call that there's some weird person has been found in Shawshank. Hey, Shawshank prison. And that this person was imprisoned unjustly because they just found him in some weird cage. They don't have any records of him or anything. It turned out that the warden is the one who kept him there. And there are rumors that, oh, he must have kept him for as a sex slave or whatever. One of the corrections officers gets the feeling that that's not really what it was about. And so he calls Henry Deaver, who was the young boy, gets his, because this is the guy just said the name. That's all he said was Henry Deaver. So he looked him up, got him back. Now he's the lawyer representing him, trying to get him out of prison. And being a Stephen King basically story, this is probably a guy who doesn't need to come out of prison ever. If you recall the original Twilight Zone series, and this is as much of a spoiler as I'm going to give you, there was an episode called The Howling Man. It's similar to that premise. So if you don't recall that episode, Google it and you'll figure it out if you want to do that. The acting is excellent. The pace is great. There's 4 episodes in. If you haven't started it, Hulu's doing something a little different. They premiered it last week with 3 episodes, and now they're doing an episode a week after that. So right now they're 4 episodes in. The next one, I believe, actually will come out tomorrow. Things really picked up. Not saying it was slow, but they're kind of setting the stage, and it's been interesting. Things got kind of hairy and crazy in episode 4. So if you're kind of concerned that you watched the first couple of episodes and you think, wow, this is kind of creepy, but not enough is going on, it's not 2001 A Space Odyssey, if you have caught the earlier show. It's a faster pace than that, and it really picks up on the 4th episode. Not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but definitely worth watching, so catch Castle Rock on Hulu. And if you don't have Hulu, subscribe. What are you waiting for? You're saving money because you're not paying MoviePass. Right, exactly. Unless, of course, they charge twice, which they won't because they're not MoviePass.
Yeah, I think that's a thing with lots of series is you have to have a primer to understand what's going on in the particular universe they're just putting you in. And, you know, 3 episodes is usually, you know, you have 1 episode. Here are the things you need to know about this universe. And you go, oh, okay, I should remember those. And, you know, sprinkle a bit of story on it. And then about episode 4, you get a, all right, and
no, they do a good job of setting it in the first episode, really. I mean, things are moving along, and by definitely by the second show, but things get kicked into high gear. Like, oh, wow, I didn't expect this to happen. And so it's pretty cool. Very cool stuff. Not Mission Impossible 6, but it is entertaining.
And that brings us to the end of the review show. So let's see, tune in Sunday for the news show. We'll have more of that then. And next Friday for more reviews from the Cinema Savants. That would be us. Visit the website, cinemasavants.com. You know what? We have a shop. Pick up a t-shirt. Because it's cute. It's got Todd's picture on it. I'm kidding. I don't think it has Todd's pictures on it.
We got it. Better not.
We'll see you on Sunday.
That's pretty much it.